If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks, or Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Acknowledging Your Sacred Heritage, Embracing Your Brightest Beliefs. Acknowledging Your Sacred Heritage, Embracing Your Brightest Beliefs. So let's start with an attunement. Take a deep breath. And call yourself forward from the highest point of your acknowledged divinity to the top of your head. Ride that energy all the way down to your feet. Anchor it in the soul star in the center of the earth. And again, connect to the highest point that you can conceive of your divine origin. See yourself as a continuum of pure divine light, not limited even to this earth or this dimension, but riding multidimensionally as a conduit of pure source connection, multidimensionally expressing within the continuum of time, space, and causation, within a quantum field of unlimited potentiality. Take another deep breath and acknowledge the sacred lineage that has sponsored you into this incarnation and that stands around you at all times as an assemblage of masters, angels, teachers, guides, benefactors, friends from other lifetimes and other planetary civilizations. Yes, your star family, all of the associations that stand with you and walk with you as you fulfill your life's purpose, your soul's purpose at this time upon this planet. You have been called to fulfill a divine purpose that you have come into agreement to fulfill prior to your incarnation. Yes, that was veiled as you came in, because part of the fun here is rediscovering these sacred lineages and heritages that we embody. So just allow this time to be between you and your own awareness appearing to you as revelation as we work together. Each seminar is designed to activate and decode that deep, never-ending wellspring of divine glory that is your true life stream, potential, and incarnation. You are an embodiment of the Supreme Godhead, expressing as very unique color, light, and sound geometries of consciousness. You are the very light of creative intelligence itself, becoming increasingly enlightened to your sacred heritage and embracing more and more of a depth of understanding that then becomes what you walk out in your life. Your life out pictures your beliefs about yourself. And if they're not bright and sacred, you are free to make other choices. You're never stuck and wedded to any position, because when you're moving and surfing the waves of spiritual inner awareness, there's always a plus factor. There's always more. Keep going. Keep going deeper. Everything that has value on this planet, you have to dig deep to, or dive deep to retrieve it. And thus, you can imagine that as a metaphor for going deep into the inquiry of the divine self that you are. For in knowing that self with a capital S, that divinity that is your core essence, all things then become revealed to you. The things that are hidden from the lower nature, the ego mind, stand clearly revealed to the illumined mind. So each of these seminars removes a little bit more of the veils of forgetfulness that have occluded that awareness. So what do you believe about yourself? Well, this would be revealed by how you portray yourself to others. You do that by the topics that you address when you speak, the self-referrals or the things that you say about yourself, and moreover, what you think of yourself in your solitary moments, perhaps that you don't share with anyone. So what do you believe about yourself? That's different from knowing, isn't it? You know, you can know that you're alive because you're breathing and your heart is beating. But what you believe has something much more to do with what drives your life, with what you truly have wedded yourself to in terms of identification, that kind of is the process that runs and rules your life. It's said that 80% of our consciousness is unconscious. It's in the subconscious levels, and those are what are dictating the behaviors in the outer expression. So we need to dive very deeply beyond the surface of our life, beyond the surface of what we think we believe, or the beliefs that we have appropriated from what we've been conditioned, taught, schooled, and told was true, but didn't make any effort to validate for ourselves. So much of what we take to be real is simply something we've taken secondhand from another. So Sai Baba has spoken of your sacred heritage in this way. This is Sai Baba speaking. I'm not channeling him, I'm sharing what he had to say. You are all sacred and pure souls. Know that you have come at this time to enact roles in the divine drama of establishing a golden age upon earth. Know that the Lord has allocated to each one of you your particular role and character in this drama, and that He is directing the overall performance of each one of you. Remember the divine director and act your part well That is all that is required. Know that you will all be liberated. Have faith and confidence in yourself. Know that your own divine self is your guru. And live true to your divine nature. Follow the wise counsel of your heart, your higher self that guides you through your conscience. Then you will always be walking in the light of divine truth and authenticity. Know that I am always with you, above you, behind you, to your right, to your left, within you and around you at all times. You can never go beyond the reach of my love. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are mine, and I am yours. Be happy. Why fear when I am here? I shall bear all of your burdens. Give them all to me, and take from me bliss, Ananda. Cultivate that sense of nearness and dearness to me in your heart, and you shall be rewarded. Your very presence will impart heavenly grace wherever you are, and you will transform this earth into a paradise of divine love. Baba. So it's obvious from what the Avatar is declaring about your identity that you have a sacred heritage. Just in terms of your being granted an incarnation on Earth at this time as contemporaries of a major Avatar. This alone signifies that you've accrued enormous merit to your account and previous births. In each lifetime, let me extrapolate a little bit on what we carry over from life to life. We spoke last week about the plate of karma that you have in each lifetime dished out to yourself to be dealt with and consumed. But you also have the accruement of the distilled essence of wisdom and merit and all of the good things that come stored in what is called the permanent atom. There's a mental permanent atom, and an emotional or astral permanent atom, and a physical permanent atom, and a seed body or causal permanent atom. And it's from the distillation of these previous actions, which we could call sinchit karma, that is placed into a bank account. We could look at it as a bank account, your personal bank account on each level. And it's from drawing on those previous momentums that you rebuild each body and each incarnation so that you receive an inheritance, so to speak, a sacred inheritance of all the good things and merit and beautiful, loving, and noble things you've done in all of your lifetimes. You don't lose that. You don't lose that. And you build on each lifetime. You build on to that. Now, we're not looking to build on to any more lifetimes here. I'm speaking to those of you who are in the completion cycle. I'm speaking to those of you who are self-realized or in the process of realizing your self-realization. And so this is the end of the road for many of you. This will be your final incarnation or close to it, if you wish it to be. You can have another trot around the block if you want that, but if you have the opportunity to step free, I'd go for it. I'd at least head in that direction and see what happens. So you don't lose any of that, and you build on from life to life. So consider that fact alone, if you will, that out of the billions of souls who long to be granted an incarnation on Earth at this time, you were chosen. Look at this in light of what we've just shared, that you, amongst countless applicants, were selected to play a role in the Avatar's mission of establishing a golden age upon Earth. In fact, you cannot even hear the name Satya Sai Baba unless it is his will. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Very interesting thing happened to me. This is back when I was living in Santa Barbara. Gosh, must have been in the early 70s. I was waiting at a bus stop to get a bus, and I was wearing a ring that Sai Baba had materialized for me that had an enamel portrait of him, his face, that he had materialized for me. And it wasn't particularly large, and I had just gotten up from the bench to board the bus, and a young woman comes running up, and she puts her finger right on that enamel portrait of Sai Baba on my ring and said, "Who is that?" And I said, "That is the Avatar, Satya Sai Baba." And that's all the time I had before I had to board the bus. And as it was, she didn't board the bus. She sat down to wait for the next one. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? That she noticed that tiny little portrait, you know, wasn't even a half an inch in size, from obviously a distance, and put her finger on it. So she made a direct contact with something that Sai Baba had materialized. And I said his name. I often wondered what happened to her after that. So, be aware that there is a reason why you are listening to this tonight and the significance it may have for you in terms of your sacred heritage. Now we're preparing for the advent of Prema Sai Baba, the last in the series of the three Sais, which represent, respectively, the past, Shirdi Sai Baba, the previous universe, the father universe, the son, S-O-N universe, with Satya Sai Baba, and the Shekinah universe with Prema Sai Baba, who, though the form is masculine, will embody the Shakti principle of the divine feminine or the divine mother. Interesting. Also interesting is that Prema Sai Baba, if you weren't told and you saw a picture of him, you'd swear it was Jesus Christ. Yeah, isn't that interesting? So, have you ever considered your life in these terms that we're speaking of? Have you ever considered the significance of your being born at the most incredible time of evolutionary quantum leaping that has ever occurred, not only on this planet, but we're told within this universe? Now, what's going on our Earth right now is not business as usual. This is a very unusual time. And believe you me, everybody and their dog, literally, was seeking incarnation at this time to be on Earth. In fact, I became really aware of that when I was with Sai Baba, living in his ashram, which I have been doing off and on throughout the years. And I realized one day that every single animal, bird, everything that crept and crawled in that ashram was the incarnation of a great consciousness who took any form they could possibly get into to enact a role with the Avatar. And you and I have the incredible good fortune to be born in human form and to know the Avatar, or to at least hear about the Avatar, or to at least consider what I'm sharing with you. So have you ever considered your life in these terms? And if you did, now, Would that shift your attitude and belief regarding your self-worth? Kind of pales by comparison, doesn't it? People are trying to find their self-worth and, you know, painting the outer form and making it a certain size and a certain gender and adorning it with certain, you know, cloths and jewels and things. That means nothing. Who you are is this sacred heritage that you've carried forward into this incarnation. You are a treasure trove of preciousness that most of you haven't even begun to explore. So if you follow Sai Baba's advice, he tells us to never say, I'm only a human, but rather to constantly declare, I am God, I am God. My nature is divine. I am one with God. I am holy. I am ever pure. I am birthless, deathless, immortal. I am an embodiment of divine love. That is what we need to be owning and declaring and believing about ourselves. So you will need to call yourself accountable for remembering that you are divine, because the world is hell-bent on reinforcing your fallibility and fragility. The world is all about the ego, the outer, the superficial, the false, a false evidence appearing real, or fear. So you'll need to pay attention to reality as defined by those who know it, which would be the God-realized avatars, saints, sages, and masters, which means you'll need to pay less attention to the world's belief systems. You're being called out of the world. You're to be in the world, but not of the world. Don't let the world get into you. Become the sacred custodian of your precious mind and let it be inhabited only by the Holy Spirit. Become a serious student of your sacred identity and heritage. Study your sanctity. Why not journal about your divine qualities? I'll bet most of you have never, ever done that. You know, so many people are wasting time trying to rearrange the furniture in their house of personal, their personality, their ego, the ego's house, which would be your body, that you've forgotten to dive deeply into who you truly are beneath all of that. You know, in each lifetime, you get a different gender very often. If you were a male, you'll be a female, or you could have a series of lifetimes in one gender. But generally, we have opportunity to be both male and female, gay and straight, black and white and red and yellow and blue and violet and green and gray and white and every other color, because the higher colors are no longer on the planet, but they were at one time. We had a violet race and a green race and a blue race and a golden race. So the next race coming on the planet is going to look more like the mulatto. It's going to be kind of café au lait in terms of the skin tone. And it will be a synthesis and a hybrid of all the races on the planet. So get over this problem with your skin being black or white or whatever color it is. Forget it. We all bleed red. When you take the upper layer of skin off, we're all white. There's a white membrane under that skin. And we all have the same blood. We are all birthed of the same Father, Mother, God. So we're all intrinsically of one family. And we're in the DNA of the all that is. And that's all you need to consider. But each lifetime you have a different gender or different plumbing, if you want to look at it that way. You're going to have a different religion. So get over, you know, thinking your way is the only way. The way that works is the way. And the only way that's ever going to work to get you to God is the loving way. God is love, and the more you are reduced to being only love, the closer you are to God. So you can tell how close you are to God by how much love is percolating through your system, through your mind, through your beliefs, through your behavior. That lets you know how far you are in the pecking order of divine revelation. So as I said before, you're a veritable treasure trove of sacred gems, filled with noble and noteworthy qualities. And no, it's not egocentric to acknowledge your divine qualities. However, it is egocentric to deny them. For in denying your divine nature, you are basically calling God and everyone who proclaims your divinity a liar. And everyone who says you're a hapless failure and a good-for-nothing, a voice of truth. So who do you want to validate as true? God or the ego-driven world's opinions? You know, these are things you have to really look at, because to deny your divinity is to abuse greatness. It's an insult to your maker. So your life outpictures your beliefs about yourself. So it would be a very good practice to take a look at what your life is outpicturing, which will reveal to you the beliefs that you are allowing to color and condition your life's experience. So all enlightened ones, every avatar and master, has said that you are divine, that your true nature is pure, perfect, and holy. Why not just accept this as your identity? Why not just accept that and do your best to act in accordance with that assumption? Well, you know, perhaps it has to do with the general age in which we've been living. The Kali Yuga is governed by gross darkness and materialism and general ignorance. So it is rare to hear anyone speak from the position of spiritual experience and genuine enlightenment, or to even believe that they are holy. You see everyone and their dog talking about, you know, their addictions and their failures and their shortcomings and their heartaches and heartbreaks, and that they were miserable sinners. And you know, you hear that kind of talk a lot. But how many people can you sit down with and share your divinity? And I mean share it, because if you sit to talk to someone who is totally invested in their ego, they're going to think you're a lunatic or whatever, but they're not going to appreciate it. And yet I found personally, as a spiritual teacher, that if I set the bar high, really high, in my conversations, I have yet to find a person that wouldn't rise to that level. It's almost like people rise to the level that you set for them. They will enter the stage setting that you have designed for your interaction. Personally, I will not engage in small talk, and I will not host people's egos. I just don't care to do that. I don't care to entertain the lower nature of anyone. So you can be yourself without arrogance, without being a, oh, you know, if you're coming from your authentic self, it will be well received. It's when you're trying to mood make something that isn't real for you that you get into trouble. So if you speak from your authentic realization, from what is really real for you, and you speak sincerely without a sense of superiority or trying to lord it over another person, if you're really speaking soul to soul, heart to heart, awakened awareness to awakened awareness, you will always find a ready receptivity. At least that's been my experience. So the world is rapidly changing now, and more people are awakening and realizing that God actually dwells within them as their own true self and as love itself. So these weekly seminars are part of a prophesied cycle of spiritual revelation that would be coming through the airwaves, that would be on television. You see the wonderful Super Soul Sundays that Oprah and OWN Network are producing. You have these wonderful BBS radio seminars. This is all part of something that the Tibetan master Joel Kuhl had prophesied that would start appearing on the planet after, I think he said, 1975. So we're part of that cycle of planetary revelation. We are the mystery schools now that have hit the airwaves and the internets and are communicating to people throughout the world. You no longer have to travel to the Himalayas to sit at the feet of the masters. They are coming to you and speaking to you on, for example, Hay House is now having these wonderful seminars, and you can pretty much hear just about anyone who has something worthwhile to share on your own computer. So take advantage of that. And each one of the beings who have truly awakened are addressing you as embodiments of divinity and incarnations of divine love. And like these weekly seminars, we are calling you out of hiding. We're calling you out. Come out of the closet of personal sense of limitation. You know, somewhere back in, I guess it was 1987, I was managing the Insight Store for Insight Transformational Seminars here in Santa Monica, California. And, you know, when you hear God's voice speak to you, you never doubt it. It's just like, well, you just know when God is speaking to you. And I heard this voice. It wasn't like a voice you hear so much as it was so loud, I would think that everyone could hear it, but it was silent. If that makes sense. So it was an inner voice in my mind that was a male voice, that was a strong voice, and I never for an instant ever doubted it or forgot it. And it said to me, and this was just, gosh, about the same time as the harmonic convergence, which would have been, I guess it was before the harmonic convergence, because this would have been, I'm just guessing, but it must have been around the spring, late spring, early summer of 87. And the harmonic convergence was August 17th, 87. But it was the activation of the 144,000 rainbow warriors that Jose Arguelles from the Mayan Factor had spoken of. And so I related very much to that information. But the voice I heard said this: stop this work that you are doing and minister full time to the starseed. And so I marched up to the CEO of Insight and I poured out my heart and I said, I feel such a power of love in me that I'm going to burst if I don't find some way to express it. And so that very enlightened and wise CEO directed me to a way that I could extricate myself from my job, get some unemployment for a while, and follow my heart and the voice and my soul's purpose, which is exactly what I did. So what happened was that I was the breadwinner for my mother and my infant granddaughter and my husband, who was quite ill at the time, and I didn't know how I was going to keep all that going without a job. So I stood in my living room and I thought, gosh, okay, now what? How am I going to pay the rent and take care of these people? And the voice, second time it spoke, very sternly, it said, you're not to ask that question. You are to make the commitment. We will teach you, we will send the people to you, and you will always have your needs met. End of story. This is now many decades later, and they have never, ever, ever, ever let me down. I have always had the rent paid, food on the table, people taken care of that I was responsible for. I never really knew how, because I live solely on love donations. But it all worked. It all worked. I trusted. I made the commitment. I stood in my living room. I opened my arms wide. And I said, here I am, God. I don't really know what a starseed is. I really don't know how to minister to it. But you said that you would send the people I'm to minister to, and you would train me, and you would see that my needs were met. Okay, that's good enough for me. I trust you. I believe you. And that was my story. But I started doing soul purpose overviews for people, for light workers, during that time. And although I'm no longer doing them, because each week we are teaching you and giving you enough information so that you can do your own inner inquiry. Because if I or another person tells you something, generally that doesn't have much, you know, we can activate a certain amount, but you're not going to really know something until you've made the effort to draw it out of your own repository of knowing. Then you're not going to have doubts. If someone else tells you something, there's always going to be some doubt. So I don't do these soul purpose overviews anymore, at least not now. That's not what I'm being guided to do. But when I did my first few sessions with people, I was truly amazed and surprised to be shown their spiritual levels of attainment. That was what was revealed to me. My level of seership, Sai Baba refers to as his gift to me of Deva Drishti, which means that I can see the God essence in people. That's what I'm shown. I'm shown who they are in spirit, their levels of attainment, the lineages they come through, and what they're here to do. And that's about it. I'm not shown their bad news, their ego story, their, you know, very rarely am I shown anything like that. I mean, sometimes, but very rarely. Generally, it's your good news that I'm shown and your divine potential. But what surprised me was quite a number of these individuals were high initiates, and some were even masters. And I trembled when I saw that. I thought, my goodness, you know, how, you know, because I had come out of the Alice Bailey Theosophy kind of schooling mentality where I didn't even know such a thing was possible. You know, I assumed we all had many, many, many lifetimes and until we were enlightened, and, you know, the fact that someone could be a master and look like an ordinary person was quite new for me. Well, this was all revealed to me. And I remember doing a reading for a series of people from, actually, I'm going to just tell you who it was because I don't see any reason why I shouldn't. I was doing a reading for one of Deepak Chopra's group of people that were part of his staff back then. This was back in the early, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there. And I was weeping in all of these sessions that I did for these individuals because I saw they had all been incarnated with the avatars of Rama or Krishna. And as I read for them, I would see scene after scene from the Bhagavad Gita or the Ramayana that was coming to life before my eyes. And I just wept from the bliss that I had from being privileged to read for these incredible souls. So this is how I came to realize that spiritual greatness can appear in the most unassuming, ordinary guises of quite otherwise, average-looking individuals. But when I noticed that it's almost a given that truly great individuals have given little of any thought as to their own spiritual status. They seem to characteristically shy away from that. They're not really interested in themselves or talking about themselves so much as they're interested in you and serving you and drawing forth your divinity. So they will have a certain reticence about talking about themselves personally, and it will be coupled with a humility and a devotion, which is far more evident in these people. So that is significant to note. And what it is that when you are something, there's no real need to announce that with a trumpet. Like Sai Baba said, when the sun is rising, no one has to announce the fact. It will be self-evident. And when the tank is full, the frogs will come croaking. So those are both metaphors for your spiritual state. You don't have to trumpet it and announce it and label it. Your ability to embody that divine state speaks for itself, which reminds me of a Sai Baba event that is well to bear in mind here. I remember Sai Baba walked up to one of his university students and asked him, "Who are you?" And the young man replied, "I am you, Swami." To which Sai Baba said, "Then you go out and give darshan." So you see, Sai Baba knows when one is actually speaking from awareness and when one is parroting a theory that you believe, but, it's not really your truth. So no matter how clever we try to be to always give Sai Baba the correct answer, when he asks these such great questions, he always sees where we are really coming from. And there's no chance of our fooling him. You can say you're God. I remember one really, I won't tell you who it was, but it's somebody we all know. This great person that most of us know and love went to Sai Baba, and Sai Baba said, "Who are you?" And the person gave his name. And Sai Baba shouted at him. He said, "You're not such and such, give me his name. You're Atma, Atma, Atma." So you see, this person, who was quite well known for giving eloquent talks on self-realization and spirituality, when he stood before the incarnation of God, he faltered and defaulted back into, his underlying belief that actually he was his name, his label, his notoriety, so to speak. That's a problem, if you're a spiritual teacher or think you are, or you're a guru or think you are. At some point, that gets in your way. The old saying is, if you see the Buddha on the way, slay him. That means that we have to, at some point, sacrifice all of those images and idols that we have constructed between ourselves and absolute beingness. It's a tough place on the path. It's a tough place on the path. I remember. remember Sri Ramakrishna when he was very devoted to the Divine Mother, and he was not able to go beyond her form. He could not, in his mind, slash the form of the Divine Mother that would appear to him. And so I believe it was his guru, Totapuri, who took a bottle and broke it and took the jagged edge of the bottle and poked it into Ramakrishna's third eye and said, "Focus here." And, of course, that's the eye of the soul. And when he did, of course, he merged into, became one with the divine at that point, and would have left his body because, you know, he totally became, you know, transcendental at that point. But the Divine Mother herself said, "I want you to teach, so I will keep you just at a slightly lower level." And so he continued teaching for a little bit longer and had to keep his consciousness still with that little semblance of sense of separation between himself and the Divine Mother. So we have to lower our vibration and assume a certain sense of illusion or maya. Baba calls it his maya virupa, his illusory form. And nowhere do you get beguiled and fooled more than Sai Baba in his physical form, because he's enacting this maya, this illusion, which, because you also believe that he's God, you tend to buy into totally. And that's part of what's called the divine lila, you know, the play and the interplay between devotees and the God form, is that you always have mahamaya, you have the great illusion that's dancing around that outer form. Wherever you have form, you have the illusion of separation. But Baba said because we're in form and identified with form, God has to take a form so that God can be worshipped and loved and heard and experienced physically, which is why from age to age, there is always one or more individuals that embody the divine, either fully or in partial attributes, so that we can have an interaction with the God form, whether it's in the Divine Mother or the Divine Father aspect, or in the case of Sai Baba, who embodies both the Father and the Mother aspect in his form. So, bottom line, Baba always sees where we're really coming from, and there's no chance of fooling him. And he's very known to ask you, and this could happen in a dream or a vision or in person, or he can manifest the form right in front of you. Any and all of that is counted to be equal and the same. And he'll ask you, "What do you want? What do you want?" And so few of us really know what we truly want. But Sai Baba always knows and gives accordingly. And he says that he gives us what we want until we want what he has come to give us, namely, liberation itself. Now, some of you might ask, well, liberation from what? Liberation from false beliefs about yourself. And what you believe would make you happy. Whatever you think would make you happy, other than realizing your own true nature, is an illusion. It's not going to make you happy. It's like Sai Baba calls it ice cream happiness. You're happy until somebody knocks it off the cone, and then you're unhappy. Or you have that new car, and you're happy until it gets the first dent. Whatever. You know what I'm speaking about. Only your own self realized is going to make you happy. Nothing else. Nothing else is going to give you genuine, lasting happiness. So the only thing that binds and confines and limits any one of us is our belief in separation. Yeah, like we said last week, every form of misery and despair and depression and sadness and all of that dreary lot comes from our belief and separation from God. Comes from the belief and separation from God. Or good. Or love. You know, God, good, love, same thing. So the mind and one's beliefs is the sole cause of any form of lack, limitation, and sense of deprivation that one may be experiencing. The mind and one's beliefs. So liberation is basically the result of freeing one's mind from erroneous beliefs, from the grip of the ego. So ego mind is but another name for the belief in separation from God. Now, ego mind is the actual embodiment of that belief. And its form is the lower consciousness, the lower mind. So the first place to look is wherever you feel pinched, parched, and pained. That lets you know where you've bought into separation. Well, then what? Make another choice. Think a new thought. Envision a new possibility. And start moving in that direction. You know, it's a step-by-step thing. So keep going. Think you found it? Keep going. Realize God? Keep going. There's even a place at the top of the etheric realm where you will see your own mirrored reflection. It's called the cosmic mirror. And at that point, you see yourself and you say, oh, I am God. Many yogis meditate to that experience, come back down and start saying, I've realized God. No, you haven't. You've just had a reflection of the cosmic mirror, which is a manifestation of Mahamaya, the great illusion, manifests as that mirror that appears to you at the top of the etheric realm, which is the Mahasuna. That's the great void. Great void. And out of that great void, the first thing you see is your own face, and you think, oh, I've arrived. I've realized God. No, you haven't. Keep going. The God of the causal realm, they say, is so glorious that one hair from that being's head has the brilliance of a 10,000 suns. If you saw that being, who is simply the Lord of the realm, that is the like the embodiment of that realm, the custodian, the caretaker, the God form for that realm, you would fall down and worship him, thinking that was the supreme God. No, that's just one of the many manifestations of God at that level. Keep going. Keep going. If you're going with a spiritual traveler who has the keys of soul transcendence on each of those levels, and that person has made a commitment with you to take you home and establish you in soul consciousness and above, then that spiritual traveler, of which Jesus Christ is one, John Rogers is another, Mahanta is another, there are many, but many on that lineage, but if you're part of that lineage, they will take you and introduce you to each of those great lords, the astral lord, the causal, well, there's a physical lord, an astral lord, a causal lord, and a etheric lord, and the lord of the soul realm, who is Sat Nam. And that's the first manifestation of the true Godhead. And then there's greater levels of the Godhead all the way up to the great Submad, which is the it of itself, about which naught can be said. So, you see, no matter where you are in your spiritual life, keep going, keep going, keep going. There's always a plus factor to spirit. It is ever-expanding divine awareness. So, back to your negative beliefs, which are pretty easy to locate, as they are the root source of all of your stress, upset, insecurity, and anxiety. And you can shift into a whole new dynamic by catching yourself and re-scripting your story. And you'll notice that every area of limitation and lack is attached to a story that you've told yourself and told others so many times that you have incorporated it as your reality, as your belief. So listen to yourself and have the courage to interrupt your story and change your narrative. If you are so fortunate as to be in the presence of any illumined person, notice how they speak, what they speak about, and with what they identify, and the belief system that they are operating from, and find a way to do likewise. It will be your way, and it may differ, but truth is one. And God alone is all that is. And God is Sat Chit Ananda. Being, awareness, bliss. And if you do not have access to such a direct presence of such an illumined being, you can at least read their books, books by or about the avatars and the satgurus. And when you make effort to keep company and satsang with truth and bearers of truth, truth itself will seek to keep company with you. And your own interest and desire to step free of your limited beliefs and to be all you can be will draw forth the support of the entire cosmos. Miracles will show up, synchronicities will connect in a dazzling display that will both delight and amaze. And your divine abilities will also begin to blossom and develop and increase. So, those are the things that you are to embrace of as you acknowledge your divine and sacred heritage and begin to examine the beliefs that you are allowing to govern your life and pick the brightest, the most beautiful, the most positive, the most spiritually affirming beliefs that you can possibly embrace of. And the greatest would be that your nature is indistinguishable from that of God. That man with love is God. I hope that's been a blessing to you this evening. And we send forth our blessings that you may have good minds, illumined minds, peaceful minds, and that you will awaken ever more deeply into your own sacred divine heritage and embrace the brightest and most beautiful beliefs that you possibly can. Blessings in the light of the Most Radiant One. Baruch Hashem Adonai.